Thank you for joining us on another podcast, Conversations with Industry Icons. And today we have with us Fred Najjar. Fred is, I'm sure you know his name. He's been a great leader at Common Spirit and a really successful professional. So Fred, thank you for taking time to join us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much, Eddie, for having me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Take a moment and tell us what you do for Common Spirit, and then I have about three questions I want to ask you.
Well, I'll be glad to. Again, my role at Common Spirit Health, I'm the Executive Vice President and Chief Philanthropy Officer for our system, and I'm also the President of our Common Spirit Health Foundation. And in my role at Common Spirit Health, I have oversight of our over 80 foundations across our system, and our currently, we have three national foundations. We're going to eventually sunset two of them, but the Common Spirit Health Foundation, the Dignity Health Foundation, and the Catholic Health Initiative National Foundation. And so I report directly to our Chief Executive Officer, Lloyd Dean at Common Spirit Health, and serve on the executive leadership team here. I feel very honored to work at Common Spirit. The values of human kindness resonate very well with me, and that's something that Common Spirit Health tries to promote across their system. So.
Well, you know, Fred, we've been on these podcasts spending time with people that we perceive, and I think correctly so, as icons, and you definitely fit in that category. I want to ask you a couple questions, and I just look forward to hearing your answer. What are the most important lessons you've learned in your career?
Well, there have been many. I think that's a great question. I actually like being called an icon. Is that another word for being old, I guess? But I'll take it as a compliment. I think one of the lessons I would say I've learned in my career is to really trust my instincts. Yes. And not to necessarily overthink things. I think oftentimes the overthinking process can inhibit you getting things moving. And you know, a few other things that come to mind about lessons I've learned is treating others. I like the golden rule. It's kind of one of my favorite statements, treating others as one wants to be treated. I think that's so important. And I look back on my profession that regardless of your title, you know, certainly your role within an organization, treat people, you know, very, very well. You know, and again, you'll find me as a person who likes to bring up a lot of sayings, but one of, you know, another one is Maya Angelou, who always talks about people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And I think that's important as we are coming into contact with people, that, you know, that we treat each other well. And there have been times, I will be candid, in my career where I've seen some leaders not do that, and I think it hurts them. And I think that's something I would say I've really tried to make an effort throughout my career, but that's something important for me to recognize everyone's contribution, regardless of where they are in the organization. So, I mean, I can keep going. I have so many things in my head about what I've learned. I think another thing is hiring talented people, but not necessarily hiring people just like myself.
Yes.
You know, I think that can be a problem at times when you think you know you need to find people that are more, you know, in symbiotically with you. And I think sometimes having a diversity of different thoughts make me a better leader, and I think add more to our organization. So that's something I really put a lot of time in when it comes to selecting talent, that I think through that I'm not needing a clone of Fred. I need a organization that fits, can fill some of the gaps that I don't necessarily bring, and that help us become a stronger organization. So,
knowing how to use talent and seeking talent. You know, one of the things when I think about you and what you've done in your career, not many people are skilled at this, but you're really good at building relationships. And I think part of that is your ability to listen. I think that's one of your gifts. What do you think about that?
Well, I appreciate it. I hope that's true. I always like Shannon Duvall, who you know and is on our team here, always said one of her father's favorite sayings was, you know, you have two ears, one mouth, use them proportionately. So yes. It's better to listen than to always talk. And I think that's so true. Cause I learn more when I'm listening and able to better respond than if I'm just trying to think of my next comment. And so I think that I appreciate that compliment. I hope that's true. Cause it would be something I would certainly want to aspire to be as a good listener.
You know, when you look back over your career, Fred, you've had a distinguished career. I would describe you as the type of leader who is focused on helping people. Not only do I believe you're a good listener, but I believe you really have deep in your heart a desire to help. What's your reaction to what I just said?
I appreciate that. I hope it's true because particularly in my current role, I see my role as being kind of the chief advocate for our philanthropy foundations and my staff and colleagues, and to help them be able to show impact on the work they're doing and advocating for them where they need resources so that we can continue to grow. I think having a seat at the table is so important, and I so much would say is something I value with Common Spirit Health, and I hope this is true with most of our colleagues across philanthropy, is that being able to sit at the table with other executive leaders across your organization so that you can talk about the impact of philanthropy, because I really do see that my job sitting at that table is to make sure I'm certainly listening to everyone within our organization's their needs and what they're working on, but also for me to advocate for the role that philanthropy can play. As we know, it increasingly is becoming important that our work is seen because the margins of our hospital systems that in some cases are reducing and philanthropy is going to take a bigger seat. So I think it's so important that I am seen as an advocate, and I'm also, and I'll add something else. I think I'm an advocate, but I'm also a realist. So at the same time, I want to advocate for growth. I do want to also advocate for efficiencies within our organization. Yes. It doesn't help just to say grow, 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 when we know there are times where we could be doing things more efficiently. And in a system as large as we are, we're in 21 states, foundations across the country, and there's some things that we can do more efficiently instead of each foundation maybe doing it by themselves, that we could provide some resource around, planned giving, gift processing, prospect management. There's a lot of different things that we can kind of economize in the way we function. And so I think at the same time, I want to be a chief advocate for growth. I want to also be a chief advocate for looking at how we can be as efficient as we can in the work that we're doing. That's something I think it's really important as we go forward.
I want to ask you one more question. This is the naughty question.
Okay.
What mistake have you made professionally, and what did you learn from it?
Well, the one thing I'll tell you is I'm comfortable making mistakes, which is, I think it's probably, I don't want to make too many, but I think I'm comfortable making some. And I think that's something that I had to learn. Early in my career, I thought making a mistake was like career ending. And now I really see it as opportunities to grow. And I'm probably one of the first people when I make a mistake to admit it. Again, I don't see necessarily these mistakes as being bad. But again, I think probably for me in my career, I think early in my career, I wanted to develop a lot of harmony with my colleagues, and I think I still do. I think harmony and avoiding conflict is always very important. But also, I think it's really critical in our work to be able to speak our truth on things and call out things where we disagree without it necessarily being seen as a mistake or uncomfortable or risky to do. And so, I find that when even at the table I sit down with the executive leadership team of Common Spirit Health, there are a lot of misconceptions on what philanthropy is working on.
Yes.
And they quickly presume that, we're still in that kind of the model of, what I would say we try to promote a much more comprehensive model of fundraising, Common Spirit Health. But I think a lot of my colleagues still see the more transactional, fundraising Yes. that goes on. And, you know, I used to not stand up and talk about it and intersect my opinion about that, because I just thought I would just listen. But now I probably take a more of a stand. And I think for that reason, I think with my colleagues, they see a greater level of respect for me in terms of coming to the table, expressing how the impact of what we're doing can have on the ministry that we work in. And so I feel really good about that. In terms of, you know, you mentioned, as you see, I've translated mistakes. It's like an interview question. They say, what are your weaknesses? And you answer, you kick the can down the road and give them something that doesn't sound like a negative. But I think important, though, to be able to be a risk taker and not see it as a mistake to take a risk. And also, I think another thing, I think early in my career, there were times where I probably said, you know, I don't want to say cry wolf, it's the, like, where, you know, I had to have some, you know, something had to be done a particular way. And I think I found a more, maybe a mature way of articulating how I could advocate for what we need to be doing within Common Spirit Health that hopefully our foundation leaders and our foundation staff and our governance boards, which we have 2,500 governance boards across foundation board members across Common Spirit Health, that they see that I'm strongly speaking in their best interest. Another, now that you got me on a roll on mistakes, I would say one of the things I think I would say I would say at least half of my career doing that I don't do any longer, at least I hope not to do it as much these days, is to be involved in every decision.
Yes.
I need to be comfortable letting go and delegating effectively, so, you know, work can be done by others and empower other people to make those decisions versus them coming just all up to me for final decision. And I think it allows my staff to grow. And, it's probably a lesson I learned. I thought to be a good leader, you had to know everything that was going on. And I realize now, if you hire talented people and they know what they're doing, you probably don't need to be involved in everything. You certainly need to be made aware if you need to have the information to share with others, but you don't have to make all the decisions yourself. So,
those are great lessons, Fred. I think you're more comfortable as we get a little bit older and we're more secure in our position. One thing I want to say to you that I really appreciate the way you mentor people just by you being you and being open to helping people. You've been a great leader for many years, and we respect you. We believe you're an icon in our industry. And I want to thank you for taking time today. I know you're busy, but sharing your experiences and knowledge with others, I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And if I can make one other thing, because I do think it's important. You know, I really, really value us investing in each other, whether that be through professional development, networking with colleagues, and, you know, we're not by ourselves. And right. I have to tell you that, you know, I've been very involved in HP for many years and serve as the chair of the board right now, and I'm very proud of that. One of the things I'll have to say is I really want, people to recognize there are people out there that can help them grow in their profession. And, I just really want to make sure, you know, that whether it's listening to a podcast or attending a webinar, investing in yourself is probably one of the best things you can do for your own career. And it allows you not to get stagnant in the work that you're doing. So I really encourage people to invest in yourself. You know, don't just invest in others. Take some time to think about how you need to grow and what skills you need to develop in your career. So.
Great advice. Great advice. Well, Fred, I appreciate your time today. You're
welcome.
Some great, great insights. This has been Fred Najjar, who's a great leader and a really good man. And we thank you all for joining us on the podcast, Conversations with Industry Icons. We look forward to you joining us again in the near future. Go out and pursue excellence. Pursue it. Don't wait on someone to give it to you or lead you to it. You pursue it yourself. Thank you for joining us.